Father, I just thank you so much that you've allowed, again, this this ability, this technology, for us to worship together. It's in an unusual way, but you're sort of the author of unusual. So thank you that you've allowed this to happen. And now for all those who do have requests and they know in their heart what it is that they would want to be done, they would want your help with, they would want your answer to, I'm praying even now that the answer is on its way. And then help us as we receive it to know that the perfect God sent the perfect answer at the perfect time in the perfect way, and we'll accept it. Be with those, Lord, who are sick. Be with those who are caring for the sick. I pray for those who are recovering from surgery and those who have surgeries that they need badly, and because of the circumstances, they have to be in pain a little longer. Lord, to help them through those days. And now as we celebrate Easter with maybe a more unique, unusual message, would you bless us all and draw us closer to you and draw us closer to each other? And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a moment, and you all have access, most of you have access to your keyboard to make a comment. And so if you'd like to, I'm going to ask a question. Give me a one-word definition of the word perfection. So you can start thinking about that. And if you want to put it in your comment box and start running some of those on the screen, I'd like to hear that. And we're going to get to that in a moment. Perfect. You've heard the saying, I've got a few of them written down here. You two are just perfect for each other. And most of you know that describes Jan and I, but it actually describes a lot of people. Sometimes we are outside and the sunshine, the clouds, the humidity, the breeze, everything is just the way we like it. And we say, wow, the weather is perfect. Or something happens just at the right time, and we say, oh, thank you for coming, or thank you for what you gave me. Your timing was perfect. And then even there's, I remember there was the movie that was out years ago where all the weather systems came together really at the wrong time, and yet they named the movie, they named the book, The Perfect Storm. Perfect. Why did I ask you a question? Why did God create men before women? Well, the answer is because you always need a rough draft before you can create perfection. So what is perfection? Many of you are throwing out words already as to what perfection is. And so as you see what you wrote and what others wrote or what you're thinking, let me tell you what the definition is. From the book. It says, perfection is freedom from fault or defect. In fact, the word they use in the dictionary is a word I saw on the screen, flawlessness. It's also the quality or state of being saintly. It's an exemplification of supreme excellence. It's an unsurpassable degree of accuracy or excellence. Those would be what the dictionary says. Well, if you remember last week, if you were with us, and if you weren't, remember, you can go to a website and find those the audio files online for sermons. Just go to PastorBobLines.com. Last week, April 5th, I shared a message, and it was just called God's Provision. I was only able to scratch the surface, and I went through five different terms or characteristics or attributes of God's provision. Well, today I'm going to start a five-part sermon that takes us deeper into those each of those five terms about God's provision. You may remember that I categorized them all, and they all start with the letter P, and here they are just as a reminder again. God's provisions are perfect. God's provisions are personalized. God's provisions are positive, God's provisions are profitable, and God's provisions are perpetual. And I even remember I had the tongue-twisting sentence that includes all five of those statements together. And here it is. God is the perfect provider whose personalized provisions are positively profitable perpetually. Well, today's message is God is our provider and his provisions are perfect. So I'm going to take that first P. Now, this is not going to be a typical Easter message, but if you'll listen all the way through this, you'll find out that the message of Easter comes through perfectly. Let me start with an example of how God provided a perfect solution at a time to meet a person's need. And I'm going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis and chapter 22, and I'll read the first 14 verses. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. "Abraham," God called. "Yes," he replied. "Here I am." "Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you." Well, the next morning, Abraham got up early, saddled his donkey, and took two of his servants with him, along with his son, Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw a place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little further, and we will worship there, and we will come right back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "Well, we have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged wood on it. Then he tied his son, Isaac, and laid him on top of the altar on the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Yes," Abraham replied, "I am here." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Don't hurt him in any way, for I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." And then Abraham looked up. He saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham called the place, quote, "The Lord will provide." And the scripture says, to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. And the proverb is this: on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Just imagine the scene. You know, if we just read this text and we go on to the next verses, just to get through the Bible, just to get through the book of Genesis, just to complete our so many verses for the day so we can read the Bible in a year. If we just do that, we might miss the whole scene that just happened. Abraham just has one kid, and he's very old. His wife and himself were like 190 before they had this child. And God had promised the child coming and promised things beyond just the child's life that would happen. And now all of a sudden, he gets a message from God to go kill his kid, to offer him as a sacrifice to the Lord. And so this happened, and it says, and the next day, the next morning, he got up. So imagine what a sleepless night that must have been for Abraham. And I'm guessing he didn't tell his wife, Sarah, about it. He was probably thinking, well, maybe something will happen in the morning. Maybe this won't actually occur. But it did. And he got up, sleepless night, got all the animals and loaded up everything, couple servants with him, his son Isaac, and they all start heading up the mountain. And you can imagine how hard it was just physically climbing the mountain, let alone the emotions behind every step is leading closer to the death of his son. Surely this isn't right. And then we find out, as from what we just read, it says then on the third day of the journey, Abraham finally saw the place. Are you kidding me? They had to endure the walking up the mountain. They had to endure. Abraham had to endure knowing that his son is going to be killed at his own hand for 3 days. And then all of a sudden, Isaac gets to wondering, what's happening, Lord? We've got all this stuff for the offering to the Lord, but we don't have the animal. We always have an animal with us. And what Abraham said was, and it's in verse 8, God will provide. It says God will provide a sheep. Now, it might have been wishful thinking on Abraham's part to think that a sheep is coming. And there's all kinds of information. There's all kinds of lessons we can learn that we could bring out from these verses. But I just want us to remember that Abraham was faithful to think that the Lord was going to provide. And then let's get to the scene real quickly where he ties up Isaac, his son. He lays him on the wood on the altar. He takes the knife out of his pocket. Can you imagine, like in a movie, and I'm not a director, but I can hear the music that was so low starting to build. And as the knife is slowly pulled out of Abraham's pouch and placed in his hand, and his hand is shaking. And as he's lifting up his hand, you see sweat beads just on top of his head, on his forehead. And as the knife grows higher and higher with the tip pointed down to his son, you can see and feel his lips quivering. And maybe at the last second, as this music builds to a crescendo, you see that little tear come from his eye and drop off of his face. And he knows, as he closes his eyes and starts to thrust the knife down, he knows this is the end. And then all of a sudden, yo, Abraham! And I don't know if that's exactly the way it was in Hebrew, but this wasn't some meek, mild, angelic voice calling out. This was a booming voice of this angel saying, hey, Abraham, stop it right now. You've gone as far as we needed you to go, as God needed you to go. And we realize how faithful you are to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, as we know the story so well, at the perfect time to stop the knife, the perfect time to look over and see a ram, and the perfect sacrifice was offered for that day. And sure enough, Abraham and Isaac go down and meet up with mom and meet up with the wife after all. Well, we could tell dozens of stories that are from the Bible about God's provision and his perfect provision. But let me even be a little bit more personal for myself. Because if I were you listening to this, I'd be thinking, okay, I've got things I'm depending on God for. And will his provision be timed perfectly? Will it be the perfect solution, the perfect answer? Will it be the perfect amount that I'm looking for? Not too much, not too little. Well, let me just quickly share two stories personally in my life, and I could tell you dozens of ways that God's provision was perfectly given to me. Our son Ross, and we have a son, an only son, kind of like Abraham and Sarah did, but our son Ross in fourth grade was experiencing some issues with what seemed like sinus issues. Some coughing, some clearing of his throat, and such like that. And we thought, well, we need to take him to the doctor. And just like we expected, there's probably some allergy testing, there's maybe a medicine, something that can be done to help this little problem. And so Jan takes Ross to the doctor. And I meet them afterwards at the doctor. And when I arrived in the parking lot, Jan was crying almost uncontrollably. And Ross was sitting in the car next to her. What's wrong? And she said, Ross has Tourette's syndrome. Well, I'd heard of Tourette's. Jan had heard of Tourette's. And I think we'd heard of only the most severe case and type of Tourette's. And within an instant of those words coming out, that diagnosis coming out, it wasn't a simple allergy pill now. Our whole life was turned upside down. And in an instant, when something like this happens, and if those with children and grandchildren, if it's ever happened to you, when a diagnosis comes, it just seems unbelievable, unbearable. Your mind can go 1,000 miles an hour in a second. And so we immediately thought, what's going to happen to our son? Will kids reject him? Will he not do well in school, academically, or with sports? Will he not be able to have relationships and have a girlfriend and go to a dance? Will he ever even get married? Will he be able to attend college? Will all these plans we had for him, and will there ever be a grandchild for us? Well, you know, I can tell you this, and again, there would be so much more to tell, but just quickly, God's provision came through. Because I can tell you this very quickly, that he did do well in school. He did do well in sports. He did have friendships and relationships. He met a girl that he's now been married to for 12 years, and they have a wonderful marriage. And they produced a wonderful little girl, our 10-year-old granddaughter. Everything worked out, what I would say, perfectly. He went on to not only graduate high school, but went on to college and did well there. And then even as a father and a husband and working full time, got his master's degree just last year. Now, am I bragging on Ross? Well, actually, I'm bragging on God, because he did work out things perfectly in an imperfect situation. Did he take away the Tourette's? Unfortunately not, and that's our prayer even still today. But see, in the midst of even things that don't seem perfect to us, God can work things out perfectly. Well, here's one other quick story. I spent almost, well over 30 years in the insurance industry, and there are so many things that happened with companies buying other companies and loss of jobs and things like this. I'll quickly tell you of one of the job losses I had in 2018. So it's not been all that long ago, 12 years ago. The company downsized, laid off several hundred people, and I was with a company called Safeco Insurance. I was looking forward to staying with that company and retiring with that company. And when I found out that I had 60 days left, I did everything in my power with all the contacts I had built up for all the years I had been there. I crossed every T and dotted every I looking for opportunities. And you know, 60 days came and went and I was gone. I had left the company. And then the job that that I went to next, everything that was promised did not happen the way it was supposed to. And so within days of starting this new job, realizing this isn't going to work out, and I'm going to try to get back to my old company again, or any company, and as a trainer, as an insurance professional. And you know, I spent the next several weeks, few months, doing everything in my power, contacting every person, doing everything I could possibly do to try to get back with the company. There came a point, and I remember this vividly, where I had done everything I possibly could in my power, and I remember saying, well, I guess God does not want me to go back to that company. I kid you not, the next day, once I gave up, once I stopped doing all the things I could do in my power, the very next day, a lady, and she might be a friend of mine from the American States and Safeco and Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, She's probably out there today, Marilyn. The next day, Marilyn contacted me and said, hey, I'm switching jobs in the company, and the job I have would be perfect for you. You should apply. And long story short, I did, and I got it. And I was back where I wanted. Talk about things working out perfectly, but it was imperfect for weeks and months from point A to point B. So keep that in mind as you're thinking about what it is you need. And you know, I could just say, hey, I'm thankful for how God's provided perfectly for me in the past and leave it at that. And it'd be a pretty good message, the thing that happened with Abraham and Isaac, the two stories I just told you. But you see, this day, in fact, this very day, right now, I have a list of things I need God's provisions for. And I'll just tell you three very quickly. Jan and I are in the process right now of selling our house in Kennard. And look at the economic downturn that we're having. Of all times in the world to be selling your house. But I need God's perfect provision for that. I'm nearing 65 years of age, so I'm nearing retirement. And I've watched just in the last month the balances of those retirement accounts go way down. And then, as most of you know, I'd shared with you before about an injury I had that occurred about 16 months ago that's left my right arm disabled, and unless God does a miracle, it's likely a permanent disability. How's God going to provide for those things that I need? Well, here's the thing I know. I've got a list, and it's longer than that. But I bet we all have a list. You've got a list. A list of stuff we need God's provisions for. And my message today is not just about what God has done in the past. It's about the fact that because I've experienced what God has done in the past, I can count on Him in the future, and so can you. Now let's turn our eyes on Jesus as we approach the end of the message. You see, Jesus is the ultimate perfect provision. There was a time in history that God the Father said to God the Son, hey, I need you to go down to the earth, live with our creation, and tell them about me. Now, as this conversation went, this is what I can imagine might have been said. Now, you're going to be inside of a teenager's womb for about 9 months. Eventually, you'll be crawling around your parents' house as a toddler. Now, something I want to remind us of is when Jesus came down to earth, he was fully God and he was fully Jesus. He was fully human and fully deity. So I wonder when he was crawling around the house as a toddler and his milk bottle ran out and he asked his mom, can I have some more milk? And she said, well, we're out of milk, but I'll give you some water. I wonder if he was ever thinking and about using his deity to turn that water into milk. The Father, as he was talking to his son about going down to the earth, he says, and you'll experience having fun and doing things with your siblings and your friends. Maybe you'll run races in the streets. I wondered then also if Jesus ever thought as he was running races with kids, as they were running through the mud puddles, I wonder if he ever actually ran on top of the mud puddles. God the Father went on telling him, and while you're on earth, you're going to pop pimples as a teenager. You're going to learn about construction in your dad's trade. And around age 30, you're going to round up a dozen guys and start your 3-year ministry. But the last thing you do will be the hardest thing you do. Yet it'll be the most significant thing you do. You're going to be crucified on a cross, offered as a sacrifice. And the physical pain is going to be horrendous. But the pain you feel when I look away from you for a moment, when all the sin of the world is placed upon you, that, my son, will be pain unlike you've ever experienced in eternity past. You see, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And the scripture that I'm going to use to end up is in Hebrews. And now it's Hebrews chapter 5, first of all, says this. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned from obedience the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him, Jesus, as the perfect high priest. And he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And then in Hebrews chapter 7, it says this. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as a sacrifice for the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. And one last scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow and a dim preview of the things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, the system of the animals being sacrificed, just like Abraham was going to sacrifice a lamb, a sheep, a goat. They were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide the perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided the perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. So before Jesus came, before Jesus died on the cross, it was sacrificing animal after animal after animal, year after year, for person after person. And it lasted just for a moment, that the feeling of forgiveness, but it just kept coming on. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice from God at the perfect time. You remember Abraham and his son Isaac. Well, before Jesus was sacrificed on the cross, the doves and the pigeons, the lambs and the goats and the bulls were an imperfect sacrifice for sin. That shadow or preview, as Hebrews said, of what was to come is where we actually live today. And with Abraham and Isaac, that sacrifice that was to happen, a father sacrificing his son, and we heard the new good news that it didn't happen. There was a substitute that was provided. And that father didn't have to take the life of his own son. But did you know, and I'm sure you do, did you know that there was a father who had to sacrifice his son as an offering for my sin and your sin? And that's God the Father. God provided Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice to cleanse us from our sin. And he did that for forever. That sacrifice is the perfect provision for you and me today. And it's available, I put in quotes, for a limited time only. Kind of like you see in the stores. The limited time only is the time we're alive and can make that decision. If you feel the Holy Spirit knocking at your heart's door, even right now, just turn the handle and let him in. You might say a prayer like this even. Jesus, I believe in you. I repent of my sin. I accept your death as punishment for my sins. And I'm asking you to come into my heart right now. I want to start a new life today, living for my risen Savior. Amen. Well, let's go back to that conversation I said that maybe God the Father was having with God the Son before he sent Jesus down to the earth. Here's how you may have finished it up. One last thing about your time on earth, son. Even though the cross can kill you, just remember the grave can't hold you. Let's pray. Father, I hope that all of us who have said that prayer of asking you into our heart are comforted by hearing the good news again. But I know there's probably someone out there that's never made that decision. And thank the Lord that they're interested enough to listen to this and other messages online even this morning. And if they do feel that pounding of their heart, if they do feel that heightened excitement inside their soul, or maybe even the terrible burden, the heavy weight of sin in their life, maybe today is the day that they pray that prayer and begin to serve the risen Savior. If you do make that commitment, I ask and hope that you would reach out to me and let me know you did. And I'll be praying for you, and I'll be helping you if you'd like me to in the days to come. Now, go and be blessed and be a blessing.